Hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, April 7th, 2008, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Ah, that would be me. This week, we're back at our interview format, and I'm pleased to bring you part one of my interview with the award-winning performer and 10-year veteran of gay porn, Robert Black. He is a virtual renaissance man, which you will soon discover for yourself. Besides his numerous roles in gay porn, Robert is the powerhouse behind RobertBlackXXX.com and RobertBlackCMT.com. His sites offer you a bird's eye view of this marvelous man and his many activities. Be sure to check out his blog, his t-shirt store, his workshops, his bodywork, and his videography. And don't forget to tell him Dr. Dick sent you. In keeping with the naughty theme of today's program, this podcast is brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You will find a link to this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish wear, and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the My Stockroom tab. Shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom is just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes, sir, sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those marital aids you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts and leering salesmen in unsavory neighborhoods because you shop from the privacy of your very own computer. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit My Stockroom today. Sex toys and props are just a click away. Before we begin today's exciting show, I'd like to remind you all of the toll-free, lickety-split, sex advice, podcast, voicemail, hotline at 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. As you all know by this time, this is a free, no-pressure, voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me, so don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. So, sex fans, I am delighted to introduce to you one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Robert Black. He is a virtual renaissance man, a man of so many talents, it's hard to know where to begin this interview. I first met Robert when he came to Seattle to work on one of my Daddy-O productions. I knew he was a big star, so I was surprised, as well as a little humbled, when he actually agreed to join us for the video shoot that would become the very popular title for us, After Hours. Hey, maybe the movie was so popular because Robert graces the cover of the DVD. You think? I was so impressed with Robert, and how shall we say this, his performance and his really big talent, that I invited him back to join the cast of the following movie, Barback Blues. Again, he is featured right there on the friggin' cover. You don't have to tell me what sells. Since then, we've become fast friends and industry colleagues. I am so delighted to introduce to you all that 10-year veteran of gay porn, etc., the one and only Robert Black. Say hello to the nice people, Robert.
Hello, everyone.
So, Robert, I was reading around on your blog, RobertBlackXXX.com, and I discovered loads of very interesting things that I think our audience would be fascinated by as well. I just don't know where to begin. So do you have a good jumping off place, or should we just begin with your career in porn?
Actually, we could start with the porn, and something you said in that beautiful introduction I'd like to respond to. Okay. You said that you were surprised that I came to work for Daddy-O because I, you know, had been around and done a lot of films. But money has never been, and it shouldn't be for anyone, the driving force in getting into porn. it's always been just a fun hobby, and I've just looked for projects that that looked fun to do. So, and the few occasions where I did it for other reasons, maybe somebody else just begged me to do it and it was against my better judgment, those usually turned out to be not so fun.
Huh. So how did you get started on the road to perdition, as it were?
I was very sexually inexperienced, actually.
Get out.
And, yeah.
Was there ever a time?
Yeah. Well, I came out when I was 15 and I had never had a sexual experience.
Wow.
And then I got my first lover when I was 18, and I was with him for 15 years. So although towards the end well, I was playing around with other people and getting some experience, and I'm sure he was too. I really didn't have a lot of experience, and so when I left him, I just sort of fell into the BDSM world, and
that's a dramatic fall.
Yeah, it was the first person I met that I got involved with was a pretty heavy BDSM player who had a partner, and I was in a sort of triad relationship there for about 6 months. Polyamorous, if you will.
Uh-huh. We'll get around to that in
yeah,
a minute. Good.
Yep. So, you know, that I just, like a fish to water, you know, they beat the hell out of me and I loved it. So, who wouldn't?
I know I would. So tell me.
So how did that get into porn? Yes.
Yeah.
So, I moved to Fort Lauderdale after leaving my lover, and Brush Creek Media was coming to town to film a BDSM. Yeah, a BDSM video. That was my first one, and my friend down there said, "Send them your picture. They're looking for someone to get flogged." And you know, I loved it. So
pick me.
They did pick me. And that was it. And there was no sex involved in it.
Ah.
And I would have been nervous about doing that, but you know, getting flogged, no big deal.
I see.
But once I did that, I decided I wanted to try some more sexual roles. And the rest, as they say,
is history. Have you liked your time in the industry? Any memorable moments besides the two movies you did here for Daddy-O Productions?
Those are the only two I can even think of.
No. Of course, darling.
Of course. Yeah, of course it's been very enjoyable, or I wouldn't have stayed in it. And most people, you know, most people do one film, maybe two films, and you never see them again.
That's right.
And then there are some that stay in it for a year and you never see them again.
Uh-huh.
But to stay in it for 10 years, there has to be something you enjoy about it.
Mm-hmm. Or a glutton for punishment.
Or a masochist.
I understand that you actually won an industry award. Is that right?
I did. The one and only time I got a Grabby Award for my solo performance in Leather Trade Solos for Sports and Recreation Videos, and it's a jack-off scene. And it's actually, I think that's the only J.O. scene I've done.
Hmm.
And I got an award for it. So I'm a professional masturbator. That's what I say.
But I just never got an award for it, which
it's kind of
breaks
kind
my
of,
heart.
It's kind of insulting, though, that, you know, I've been in the industry 10 years and done so many different things, and the one thing I get recognized for is just sort of playing with myself.
Do you know how many how many movies you've done?
It's somewhere around 50.
Yikes.
I don't know exactly how many.
Scenes
come back in different
yes.
videos. You know how that works.
Right.
So I'm not sure.
Most assuredly do. Would you recommend this business to other people? Any sage advice for aspiring porn pups?
Well, I do have a warning.
Uh-huh.
Go to school and get your degree first.
Uh-huh. That's a good
one. And it does, it will change your life. There are a lot of, there are negative consequences to it, definitely, mm-hmm. in the way that people respond to you. And if you don't have a thick skin, I think it has had a very negative impact on some people.
Yes.
You know, for me, if people send me hate mail or say derogatory things to people that I'm perhaps dating, I love that because that just tells me more about that person than that's somebody that I just don't want to.
Yeah.
That just gives me an insight to them.
It can be cruel. I mean, it can be really cruel.
People have been very cruel.
I don't understand that. I mean, maybe it's our culture's love-hate relationship with porn, but it's odd to me. Here in Seattle, it's a particularly nutty issue because it's when porn stars come to town to perform, I mean, there's lines around the block to get in.
Really?
But you go to, you just have a casual conversation with people online or in person about porn, and they, oh, no, that's terrible, and I would never, and oh, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. Of course, there's this double standard and almost schizophrenia about the whole thing. It's really pretty sad. At any rate, I was reading around on your blog, and I noticed that open letter you have about barebacking. And for those in our audience who don't know what that is, that's fucking without a condom, both in porn and in one's private life. If I may, I'd like to read a portion of what you've written. It's titled, A Letter About Bareback Porn. You write, I recently read an article about bareback porn that appeared in the August 7th issue of Out magazine. I'm a firm believer that the casual portrayal of bareback porn does indeed contribute to the spread of HIV. It establishes bareback sex as a norm. In addition, it's irresponsible for studios to put actors at risk, even if the actors accept that risk. Here is a copy of the email that I sent to the editor. Robert, could you read your response for us?
Sure. Dear editor, as a 10-year veteran of the porn biz, I applaud Will Clark, Chi-Chi LaRue, Michael Brandon, and others who continue to support and do the right thing, even if it means a couple of dollars lost. The comment in the article in the magazine, bareback is the crutch of the unimaginative pornographer, was right on. Instead of making films that are truly sexy, it's all about bigger muscles, steroids, deeper assholes, fisting, and higher risk, no condoms. Extreme porn, if you will. I'm sure that a creative college film student could turn out a hotter video than any of our major porn studios with two average-looking but talented actors and a really great script. At any rate, we're in a catch-22. As more and more men contract HIV and decide to bareback, there are more men, including filmmakers, who want to see their own behaviors reinforced on film. Nobody wants to be reminded that he is doing the wrong thing. Robert Black. That's me.
Wow. That certainly hits the nail on the head. I'm so dismayed by the prevalence of barebacking in our industry. When I first started Daddy-O, 7.5 years ago, barebacking was a marginalized, almost shunned. And over that time, it has become very mainstream. And now even companies that publicly denounce barebacking, they also have affiliate programs and affiliate studios that they work with that produce barebacking titles, and it just breaks my heart. I mean, we have this sense that performers are expendable, and it's just definitely not the case. I have a very strong feeling for sex workers of all stripe, and I just think we ought to behave better. Mm-hmm. So thank you for putting that out there.
My pleasure.
So I know that your industry MO is a leatherman, right?
I would say so. I think that I was called the king of kink in one magazine.
You're kidding. Good for you.
Serious.
Maybe you could talk about that some. I know that you're a master of the art of BDSM. You even teach courses in bondage and other filthy things like that. So,
well,
would you care to give us the lowdown on that?
Well, I don't consider myself a master at BDSM. I'm a student, mm-hmm. a lifelong student, mm-hmm. and there are some things that I think I'm knowledgeable about. But there are a lot of people who certainly are more skilled than I, and I would say that I'm actually not that. Well, I consider myself sort of a vanilla BDSM player, but I guess it's all relative. Someone who would see some of my videos would probably argue that point.
I would argue that point.
Yeah.
So tell us about what goes on at a bondage course, for example.
I've spoken to certain groups about principles in dominance and submission. I haven't actually done any classes in specific skills yet.
Mm-hmm. So what are the things we ought to know?
Well, a lot of it is about communication. Uh-huh. And, you know, my background from corporate life is that of a corporate training director. So uh-huh. that was all about interpersonal skills, you know, communication skills. And it's the same thing in BDSM. It's you've got to have great communication to engage in that kind of play where uh-huh. you're on the edge and there are delicate emotions at stake and
not to mention delicate parts.
And delicate parts, yep. Yes. So communicating and asking questions of your other partner and relaying information when the questions aren't even asked, all of that's important. So
right.
You have to be really an active participant,
yeah.
whether you are a submissive or a dominant.
Yeah. I've written a lot about the idea of a safe word. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. A safe word is a word that a submissive can call out during a scene, and what it should do is end the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells the dominant that something's wrong,
uh-huh.
that the scene has gone too far, it's not going in the direction that is comfortable for the bottom. And some experienced or very hardcore players don't play with a safe word. They think it detracts from BDSM play because the bottom knowing that he can get out of it with just uttering a word makes the whole issue of giving up control and taking control sort of moot. But
that's
strict.
That's strict.
That's a purist. Yeah,
I personally don't agree with that kind of thing. I think
I don't agree with it.
There's a definite role for a safe word. In fact, I've often used the concept of a safe word for when I'm teaching couples or individuals fair fight training. When they're discussing or fighting about an issue in their relationship or marriage or whatever, a safe word comes in really handy when people can terminate that discussion or argument if it's veering off into something hateful or destructive. So, what was your most extreme BDSM porn video that you can recall?
That would be the one that I just made.
Uh-huh.
Last September, it just got released. It's called The Mechanic. And
uh-huh.
so, interestingly, one of the last films in my career is the most hardcore.
Can you tell us what goes on there?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Over and over again?
Well, let's see. I get clothespins.
You're the bottom.
I'm the bottom in
yes,
this.
Uh-huh.
Not in a traditional ass-fucking sense, just
right.
in a BDSM sense.
Right.
Clothespins across my chest and then flogged off one at a time.
Oh.
And, of course, they're on my nipples, too, you know. Of course. I have a vice applied to my balls and then pulled across the room with a hoist. And
my precious Robert Black.
Yeah, I get gut punched and ball slapped and I get... cut with a hunting knife on my back.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that was fun. And a lot of this was very impromptu. It wasn't even planned. My scene partner and I just sort of, you know, decided to do this stuff.
Well, the Daddy-O stuff must have been like Little Mary Sunshine, comparatively speaking.
It was definitely tamer. Yeah. And then there's also a water sports scene I get pissed on. That's never happened to me in a video.
That I can understand and appreciate, actually. But the other stuff is just like over
good
the top
for you.
For me.
And what else? I was choked until I passed out, and I actually did pass out on set. Yeah.
Okay,
that was cool.
I'm going to cover my ears now. That's enough for that. Okay, moving right along.
But as I say, it was the most extreme because of the types of things that we did, like cutting and blood and things like that. But I would say I didn't play as hard as I have in some other videos. Like in some of my earliest videos, I played hard. I was beaten and cried. And, you know, it was taken to a very extreme point. So that's the type of play wasn't terribly extreme, but it went pretty far.
De gustibus non disputantum est, I always say.
I always say that, too.
Do people like one film over another? Or are there more comments related to you about one performance as opposed to another? Besides the Daddy-O ones?
Well, my leather fans comment on my all my past BDSM films, but I would say in the mainstream stuff, I hear a lot about To the Max, which is one hot house film that I made with Mike Roberts, a hot muscle, hairy chested daddy, and yeah, he fucked the hell out of me in that, and that was a very popular scene. I get asked about that all the time.
I see.
But usually they're asking me, you know, what was it like to really work with Mike Roberts, you know?
Was he really nice?
Yeah, I wish I could have been you.
For the curious people in our audience, what gets you off, generally speaking? Is there a particular thing that raises the bar, turns the crank, as it were?
Well, interestingly, the BDSM stuff does not turn me on. It doesn't get me off. I'm not going to have an orgasm from flogging or cutting or piercing or
that doesn't surprise me in the least, but go ahead.
That's all. It's just, there's just a whole emotional thing around all that. But, but I would say when it comes to genital sex and what gets me hard and gets me to come, there's certainly certain visuals that get me excited, like a certain type of person, people who have read my blogs in the past, they know I like huskier guys, hairy, you know, daddy, bald heads, buzzed heads, beards. That gets me hot. And then the flip side of that, little muscly, cubbish kind of guys. Yep.
What's not to like about that group? On top, no pun intended, of your porn career, you have a massage and bodywork practice too, right?
Yes.
In fact, I think audience members can find more information about that on your website, robertblack.net, right?
Sure.
Good.
Mm-hmm. BearCMT.com.
Ah.
Yeah, which should tell you something right there.
Do you find that some of your clients want to touch you impurely while you are kneading their flesh? I mean, I would.
You know, I get asked that a lot, and the truth is, it doesn't happen very often.
Really?
Very, 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 very rarely, because
you're so strict with them.
I am the massage Nazi. The massage Nazi, yes.
Oh.
No, well, my partner refers to me as the massage Nazi.
Oh, my goodness.
Because a lot of people never make it to my table. Mm. I do. There is a screening process.
Oh, really?
Which it's nothing official, but a a lot of people just never make it to my door.
Oh. So you actually turn folks away because there's...
Many times. Huh. And there is a form that people fill out before they ever get on the table. Mm-hmm. And so that I learn a little bit more about them and what their expectations are. And I make sure that our expectations are in line.
I'm just trying to picture in my mind Robert Black, the masseur.
And I think when people, if people who might have the expectation that they do want to touch, and they're maybe they booked a massage because they know me as a porn actor or whatever their reason is, I think when they get on the table and as soon as I touch them and they realize this is a real massage,
yes,
and probably the best massage they will ever have, you know, they just start to get into the massage and drift
away.
Off.
Right.
Yeah, so they're not so interested in worrying about what I'm doing or, you know, touching me.
So rarely there is a sensual or erotic element to your body work. Is that...
No.
I thought there is. That's what I was going to say next.
There is a sensual element, definitely.
Because you're working out a body.
Yeah, and I'm usually naked.
Get out!
Yeah, I know. I spend my day naked. It's great.
Oh, you're making me completely nutty now. Now my mind
and really,
is gone somewhere else now.
I have tried to go back to like 9-to-5 corporate jobs over the years, but
for the most part,
massage has paid the bills for the past decade, and and it's not a stressful job, I must say.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Can I invite you back for next week?
Yes.
Oh, yay, because I have so many more questions that I want to ask. Thank you again for joining us. Would you mention your websites again for us before we leave?
Yes. RobertBlackXXX.com. From there, you can access my massage site. You can get a copy of my videography. You can access my t-shirt site with very sexy t-shirts that are guaranteed to get you laid.
we'll talk more about that next week.
Yes, you can check out my Big Muscle Bear profile with pictures there, and more.
Thank you again, Robert. See you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for part 2 of my interview with Robert Black and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really fun for yourself and all the pervs in your life. I mean, you'll find something naughty for everyone you know in my stockroom, and you can bank on that. We have a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Not to worry. Take a look at my monthly ever-so-popular sex toy awareness feature right there on DrDickSexAdvice.com. It's chock-full of swell gift-giving ideas. You'll find a link to Dr. Dick's Stockroom right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com and look for the tab that reads My Stockroom. Also, you can find Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. All you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.